The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
Detroit basketball!
And hello and welcome into Views from the Sideline. That's Malik Hill. I'm Joey Tysik. And it's March, which means it's time for March Madness. We have conference tournaments started yesterday. They're going to be starting up today. And then we got some of the bigger conferences going into the weekend and the next week. So we're 2 weeks away from the big March Madness episode. We did confirm Jordan and Sammy are going to be back. For that, so that's exciting.
There's going to be a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of emotions.
Sammy was saying...
A lot of horrible picks.
Sammy was once again saying he believes that Michigan State can do something. So, you know, it's always interesting.
I hope he keeps that faith from now.
Yeah.
Until...
And Jordan's going to be hyped up because Duke's starting to gain some steam as they head into the tournament. So, today... We're going to talk a little bit about some draft combine stuff. I think there's some interesting topics that I wanted to bring up around that. Maybe some interesting prospects that surprised us. And then the rest of the time, we're just going to talk about some of those smaller conference college teams or tournaments that have a chance to do something as we get closer to the tournament. So draft combine. Did you watch any of it, Malik? Or did you do what I did and watch the highlights?
I watched some of it. It was kind of like 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, I checked in on some 40-yard dashes. And then I'd tune back out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching most of, like, the receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I tuned out, like, 15 minutes before Xavier Worthy ran the 40.
Okay.
And I was kind of upset that I missed it in the moment, but... Still, yeah.
So for anybody that didn't know, Xavier Worthy broke the 40-time record. He ran a 4.19.
4.21.
4.21,
yeah.
Almost 4.1. Which was previously held by John Ross. And this was kind of my big topic that I wanted to bring up. Because Xavier Worthy ran the fastest 40 at 4.21, his draft stock is going to rise quite a bit.
Yeah, he's going first round.
And the crazy part, and people are going to be mad at this, he's going to be the back half of the first round, most likely.
Yeah.
Which means Bills are there. Chiefs are there. have fun with that. I did hear some crazy talk today on the radio as well coming in that a couple Lions fans were like, we should pick up Xavier Worthy. So we have Xavier Worthy and Jameson Williams.
What kind of offense do you think
and
this
Jahmyr
is?
Gibbs? What? Like, that'd be funny, but...
It would be funny, but...
And it'd be fun at times, but I don't know.
Yeah. Are y'all trying to be the Dolphins?
Right.
Or, yeah.
So that's like, it goes into my thing of like, does the 40 matter to you? Or how much do you weigh the 40 time? Because on the opposite spectrum, Keon Coleman, who we thought is, you know, a bona fide stud, he ran what, 4.6 something?
Yeah. He ran like 4.62 or something.
Yeah. And,
but I think people that watch him play know that doesn't matter.
Yeah. And all his drills, he ran way faster. So he's got game speed. So how much do you take into a 40 time of like, how much does that mean to you? Or is that just like a flash in the pan? Like, okay, yeah, it proves they're fast.
It's honestly really mainly for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the fans at this point. Like,
yeah,
you saw like they had a record crowd in that Indianapolis stadium for the combine this year on Saturday. The fans just want to come out and see like how the level of athleticism these top prospects have,
mm-hmm.
how fast these guys are, how high they can jump.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of college football obsessives out here that would like to go and see these guys up close.
Right.
Because for the most part, you're not going to see them play in real time. So mm-hmm. seeing how well they test athletically is like as close as you'll get to seeing what these guys look like in college. Yeah. And they're all in one setting.
I think the other thing, too, that's funny. That's where I got my 4-1 from. So they also had a track star. He's going to be at U.S. team. Christian Coleman. He ran like a 4.16 or something 40. So that was to just show you the difference between track speed and football speed.
Yeah. Also, allegedly, Bo Jackson has the
combine
record with like 4.18 or something.
Right. There's that mystique. Yeah.
But nobody, there's no official number.
Yeah.
And I believe he probably did it.
And how often, when you're running a straight line in football, are you not already just gone and you're not really running as your fastest? So to me, I kind of go in the same boat. Like, the 40 time is fun. To me, though, where the 40 time actually starts to matter is with some of your big guys. When you see some of these interior linemen and stuff that are running 4.5, 4.6, like, it's insane. It doesn't, you can't comprehend it. And that's where I think some of that stuff is a little more important, because they're constantly trying to chase these faster guys down. And again, if you look at the previous record holder of the 40, John Ross, he never really had much of a career. A lot of teams tried him out. The Bengals held with him for a while, and he did a couple things in the slot here and there, but he never fully broke out. Again, half these guys usually are very small. Like, Xavier Worthy is 180. Is he even 6 foot?
Xavier Worthy is like 175 pounds.
Yeah, like,
I don't even think he's 180.
Right. And unless you're like, again, Devontae Smith kind of changed the game for those smaller wide receivers, but even him to a certain degree.
He's more of a complete receiver. He's not just like a burner.
Yeah. And even him to a certain degree, he was taken with such high draft capital, but there hasn't been a huge payoff per se. He's really good. You can't deny it, but
he's not Calvin Johnson or like Randy Moss.
He's the second guy on his team because AJ Brown is just that much bigger and better. So it's hard to weigh all that stuff. So I just think it's interesting how much the 40 time matters. To me, sometimes it's also similar to like hand size for quarterbacks and things like that. Like, people were raving about Michael Penix's hands because he has giant
hands. I'm
going
to be honest, I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
I must have missed
that. So apparently his metrics for like his arm length and his hand size and things like that, like, he's in the top percentile of that. And that may move him up the board. Take that with what you will.
That won't do anything.
Jared Goff plays pretty good, and he has small hands.
Listen, it's all about the tape and seeing what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And even more, there's stuff nobody can predict.
Yeah.
There have been so many bad picks in the past because people just assume somebody is a good person and can become a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that it's never going to happen.
Right.
Like, literally no one predicted Jamarcus Russell
would be that bad.
Nobody knew he was going to not give effort and be the last last person out. Nobody figured he was going to be a complete bust, like, on and off the field.
Yeah.
He just got picked number one.
Mm-hmm. And that goes right into the other thing that I wanted to talk about, too, because it's becoming more and more prevalent. Caleb Williams sat out of everything. He apparently declined getting his medical exam. And then Marvin Harrison said he was going to meet with people.
Marvin Harrison didn't even show up.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Do you think, like, I get it. Like, they have so much hype behind them that it feels like if they did anything, it would hurt their draft stock. Do you believe in that? Do you think they should show us something, or where do you fall on that?
I do think it's weird to show up and just do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I like Caleb Williams. At least he was active, like, with NFL Network and doing interviews, and he was there, like, encouraging people during their drills.
Right.
He was like in it, even though he wasn't performing.
Mm-hmm.
He was around it and like on the sidelines. Marvin Harrison just deciding to like be there but not be there. That's weird to me. I don't exactly understand.
Yeah,
why you even go to Indianapolis if you know you're not going to show your face or do anything,
right?
And just, okay, my pro day, come to that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, yeah, these guys will do private workouts. They'll do a pro day where they're in their comfortable environment and all that. I don't know. To me, it just stinks. Again, it's another like one of those fan things. It stinks as a fan to not be able to see these top prospects do what they do. But I get the logistics of it. Like if they've hired an agent and they're projected to be two of the top prospects, what do you need to show at that point? Because you're only going to hurt yourself if you make a mistake. So the other one that's kind of the somewhat opposite of that is J.J. McCarthy. He's one that his draft stock is just astronomical right now.
I don't think he's going as high as some people say he's going. But
you think he's going to be the Will
media,
Levis
the
of
media
this draft?
Is saying.
Or right in the middle?
Let me ask this because I completely like forget. Where did Will Levis go in the last draft? I don't remember where he went.
I think he was like the first pick of the second round.
Oh,
right?
Okay. I think. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He was in that 30s area.
Mm-hmm.
I think JJ might go in the first round, but I just don't see him going top 10. There are too many question marks.
They are starting to talk top 5 recently. See that? I've heard a lot of teams, well, not teams, but people saying that teams might be looking to trade into the top 5 to get JJ.
If your organization is in a situation where you don't have much to help a quarterback, drafting JJ McCarthy is probably the worst idea you can have.
Hmm.
Like, if you're Minnesota, I think it makes sense having him sit behind Kirk Cousins for a couple seasons.
But they don't know what they're doing with Kirk Cousins right now. That's the big
that
problem.
Too. But I'm in a situation where you have a guy that you know is most likely starting for a year or two, and JJ can come in and sit and learn and watch. That makes the most. Just throwing him in, if you put him in New England, I'm sorry, JJ. Like, I'm sorry for any quarterback that has to go into New England right now, but especially him. It's just I don't see it working.
Yeah.
Now anything is possible, but I don't see him as a guy that can just come in and instantly get it off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to sit and learn for at least a season to me.
Yeah.
Some time.
Which the quarterback is kind of the big thing this draft because it's just as good as last year, if not better. And we saw three quarterbacks go in the first 10 picks or whatever last year. They thought it was going to be 4. It's kind of shaping up to be the same thing this year where it's going to be supposedly Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels with potentially J.J. McCarthy. Do you think that we could see 3 quarterbacks go in like the top 5? Like, do you think those 3 guys are top 5?
I think there's a good chance all 3 of them could go top 5. I don't know what teams are looking for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know New England needs a quarterback, but they need everything. So like they got Christian Gonzalez last year. He hit and then he got hurt. When you look at the rest of their roster, they need so much.
Right.
A quarterback isn't fixing their situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarterback is most likely going to fall apart in their organization.
Yeah.
The Bears, we hear the rumors about them wanting to trade Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Are they actually going to do it? I have zero idea. Like, I have no idea what teams want to do right now.
Right.
I just can't tell.
And to be fair, we're just getting into the free agency period. We just got through, like, franchise tags and things like that. So it's kind of a growing thing. So we've already seen guys like T. Higgins get franchise tagged. Brian Burns just got franchise tagged. Josh Allen for the Jaguars. And then what's the other notable one? Oh, Legarius Sneed, who apparently is also open to trade. So there's some rumors the Lions might be involved in that. But we'll wait and see. Notably, guys that did not get tagged, though. And Mike Evans got re-signed to a 2-year? I think it's 2-year, $52 million, $35 million guaranteed. So that also sets the market for potentially Amon-Ra St. Brown, which will be interesting going forward. Guys that did not get tagged, which is interesting, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler is out there, Derrick Henry is out there. So there's a lot of like veteran running backs that are available at the time. And then, is that it? I think those are all the notable ones that I could think of. There might be one that I'm missing, but yeah. Oh, and free agents, the Lions did re-sign Emmanuel Mosley to a one-year deal, which I think we all kind of wanted, just to give him another prove-it year.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting things that could go on in the NFL in the next couple weeks, and then we'll be able to figure out maybe a little bit more about what teams might be looking for as far as the draft goes, and we'll get into mock draft stuff once we get done with the tournament and all that. Because the Lions literally could go almost anywhere in the draft. Where they're at, there's a lot of availability. So it should be fun to talk about when we get there. But is there anything else you wanted to go over in, from the combine or anything like that?
I don't think Blake anything Corum, in particular. Blake Corum.
27 reps on the bench.
Yeah, just as much as Joe Alt, which is just funny to... When you look at Blake Corum, it makes sense because his muscles are just insane.
Yeah.
He looked great in the running back drills. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll go at least like third, fourth round. I'm not sure if he'll go second round.
Yeah.
He could, but I think third round most likely.
Yeah, there's no Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson in this draft, but there's some. There's always quality running backs. I don't think anybody's going to sneak into the first round, but maybe second round. You never know what people are thinking. So that should be interesting. Okay. NCAA games. We have conference tournaments going on. And this is the exciting time because the teams that start out are all these smaller conference schools. But it gives me time to start watching some of these smaller schools because they're on ESPN3, ESPN+, things like that. And it gets you an idea of who can maybe compete with some of these top teams that, you know, you don't know about, you don't hear about. But I think for today, we have to go over the number one seed in the Horizon League, your Oakland Grizzlies, the Golden Grizzlies. Trey Townsend, Oxford native, named Horizon Player of the Year, which is pretty cool. How do you feel about the Golden Grizzlies going into the Horizon League matchup? Is that tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay.
I will be in attendance.
Yeah.
They're playing Purdue Fort Wayne, and it's probably like one of the hardest opening games to the tournament they could have.
Yeah.
I've seen them lose to much lesser teams with better teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the Kayfelder 2016 team, when they were first place and they lost to a bad Youngstown State team, I believe, in the very first round. I have no faith. None at all. They're good enough to win this tournament, and they also have moments where they just look bad, and they could also just like get blown out in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Literally no idea. I don't want to go on a Greg Campy tirade. I don't. I really don't, because he is a good coach. But it, you know what? I'm done with Oakland if they lose this game. If they lose this game,
okay,
and they don't make the tournament again,
yeah,
and they lose in the first round at home, and Greg Campy wastes 5 or 6 teams at least in the past 12, 13 years that could have possibly made the tournament, 3 or 4 that definitely should have made the tournament, I am done with Oakland basketball as long as Greg Campy is the basketball coach.
Okay.
I have no faith right now, and it'll be even worse.
Hmm.
And this is a good basketball program.
Yeah.
I probably sound insane.
Yeah.
I sound ridiculous saying this stuff. Do I?
I get it. Like,
I've seen so many disappointments that I just can't keep doing this.
Yeah. It's hard to believe in a team that's been kind of failing you. So I get that.
I have seen more talented teams do less.
Yeah. And the other thing that's, again, the Horizon League, we've been seeing teams like Cleveland State.
And Northern Kentucky.
And Milwaukee even be really good in this conference. And like this year, Cleveland State's 7th seed. Purdue Fort Wayne, like you said, they're usually a good team. And they're what, the 8th seed? So like it's a pretty competitive tournament, And that just makes it even harder to believe in your number one seed. And we've already seen in some of the, like yesterday in, man, why can I not think of whatever conference Eastern Kentucky's in?
Eastern Kentucky is in, are they in the OVC?
They might be. It might be the OVC. Yeah. But anyway, Eastern Kentucky was the number one seed, and they lost to the number 10 seed Jacksonville. So even in these conference tournaments that you think are quote-unquote weaker, you can see the top team lose in the first round. So I get that, you know, there's some hesitation there. But also, do you think that there's a chance that if Oakland makes it out of this first round, do you think then you would feel more comfortable, or are you just going to be nervous every round?
Every round.
Okay.
Every single. I need them to make the title game to have some hope that it's possible, because I haven't seen them in the title game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just disappointment one after another. You have all conference players. I don't know what to say. Like, if I vent my frustration some more, I'm just gonna start saying a bunch of, like, stuff that's not logical and just a bunch of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So I just hope Oakland wins. I believe in their best players. I do. It's not a lack of talent problem. Like you said, Trey Townsend is a good player. He's a high-level college basketball player. Blake Lampman and Jack Golkey have both shot really well lately.
Right.
DQ Cole was a nice find, a kid out of Pontiac that they got from community college. He's played really well as their starting three.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not very deep.
Right.
And if they go cold shooting threes, like, they, any team can beat them. So I hope they make it, but I just don't have faith.
Yeah.
I just don't. Sorry, Oakland fans and alumni.
Yeah. That's fair though. I get that. All right. Let's get outside of your biases towards the horizon. Let's go to, we have the Northeast Conference that's playing, and this was fun for me doing a little bit of research, because I found out that in the Northeast Conference, they have the Lemoyne Dolphins, who you said are former D2 school.
Yeah.
And so they just recently moved up.
Or is either their first or second year in Division I? It might be their first.
Which, for people that don't know, dolphin is like one of my favorite animals growing up. So to see, I've never seen a basketball team with the dolphin as their mascot. So to me, that's exciting. I don't expect much. They're 14-16, and they're playing FDU tonight. And FDU is 15-16. I think it's like the 4-5 matchup, I believe. And unfortunately, Lemoyne has like very little offense and not great defense. So they don't do anything really well, which usually as a small conference school is not a good thing. But in the Northeast Conference, one of the top teams is Merrimack. And they
should have made the tournament last year, but Fairleigh Dickinson got in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of goes into, it shows you that, again, even though a team can dominate their conference, when you get into the conference tournament, it's all up in the air. Because this year it's, is it Central Connecticut State is the top school.
Sounds like a fake school.
Yeah,
it does.
With Merrimack right there. But similar to the Horizon League, when you look at the individual games, these teams all play each other fairly close. And so it's kind of fun. Like I said, it's fun for me to watch because I don't know any of these teams, hardly know any of the players, but I do know that even with Central Connecticut State being the quote-unquote top seed, Merrimack is the team that a lot of people are more so talking about again. So I'm curious to see how they do. I haven't watched too much of them, but they have, what's his name? Jordan
Miner?
No.
Jordan Miner played for Merrimack last year and now plays at Virginia.
It's Jordan Dirkak.
Okay.
He's like their best player.
Yeah.
He's a 6'5 guard, averaging 17, almost 18 points
a game, but yeah, he shoots 27% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So I might need to brush up on this kid.
Right.
What kind of game does he have?
Yeah.
Average.
But
he only
shoots 27% from three. But it looks like, again, it's hard to look from stats, and we'll get more information as we watch this team.
He scored over 20 the last two games.
Yeah. But what's crazy too is like they average 10 steals a game as a team and like four blocks, which indicates that they might be a pretty good defensive team, which could be fun. So I'm kind of curious to see what they can do necessarily. I know Sacred Heart's another good team in the Northeast. They actually beat Merrimack just recently. And so, again, I'm kind of excited for the Northeast Conference. I don't know much about it. It's one of those weird ones that, you know, we've seen Fairleigh Dickinson kind of make it in a few tournaments here and there. So I'm curious to see if they can keep it up. But, again, I'm rooting for the Dolphins, and they're playing the Dolphins. So
I think there's a top two of a certain conference that we need to talk about, because we've texted about these two teams many times in the past few months.
Yeah.
Because their star players are guys that if they get into the tournament,
mm-hmm.
will become legends.
Yeah, and they could take over. And I think for one of the teams, people already are starting to know about him because of, you know, social media and the way that it works. But yeah,
we're talking about the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah.
And their top two teams, Indiana State and Drake,
mm-hmm.
the Drake Bulldogs.
And I think
Indiana State Sycamores.
Yeah, and I think some people know about Drake a little bit because of last year, and they showed that they were pretty good last year.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen Indiana State. And, you know, funny enough, people don't really know about Indiana State, but they do have a legendary former player or alumni that played at Indiana State. So if anybody doesn't know who Larry Bird is.
I was about to say, if you don't know the answer to that question, you shouldn't be a basketball fan, because you need to know
right.
Larry Bird went to Indiana State.
Yeah. Famously led his team quite far. But yeah, Indiana State, they don't have Larry Bird on their team, but they do have one Robbie Avila.
They have a guy that's one step off.
Yes.
A legend in the making.
Yeah.
He wears goggles. He's 6'9". He's not very athletic.
Right.
But does he know how to play the game?
He has.
Does he know how to play the game of basketball?
Great footwork.
Robbie Avila, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. He's averaging almost 18 points a game.
7 rebounds, 4 assists. 55% from the field. 39, almost 40% from three, 82% from the line. He's just a baller.
Yeah. You know,
like he can shoot. He can, yeah.
Okay. I got to do this so that Chris is on board, and I need to make Chris listen to this. But if Chris is so, like, if we're the Loyola Chicago podcast, and we loved Loyola Chicago when they made their run, Robbie Avila is very similar, probably better, but he's very similar to Cameron Crutwig.
He kind of is, but he goes to a whole other level.
Right. And that's what I mean.
Robbie Avila is literally like a college version of Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
He does everything very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only reason I compare him to Crutwig is because they both have really good footwork, not super athletic. They also drop some dimes here and there, and they just kind of do a little bit of everything. But again, Avila is just a step above that.
Yeah.
And he's, if nobody's seen him play, just go and watch him play.
It's a joy to watch.
He looks like, what he reminds me of is just picture when you go to the gym and you're playing that one old guy. I always refer to him as my dad.
Yeah.
And he just gives you a quick little like shoulder fake into just like a little up and under.
Everything he does works.
Right.
And pisses you off.
Yes. And you don't understand
because
he knows
what he's doing.
You don't get it until you're older.
Exactly.
That's kind of what Robbie Avila's play style is. But they're a good offensive team overall. It's not just Robbie Avila. Yeah. They have two other guys that are averaging 16 points a game.
They shoot almost 40% from three as a team.
Yeah.
50% from the field as a team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So they can keep up with almost anybody. Now, the one disappointing thing, I guess, is they've had a couple bad losses here and there.
In the past, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, they lost to Southern Illinois was one and Illinois State. So as long as they're not playing an Illinois team, maybe they'll be all right.
Yeah. Both of those teams are in the middle of the pack of the Missouri Valley, so it's not, like, the worst.
Right.
But it doesn't help.
Yeah.
Especially when, if you don't win the Missouri Valley Conference, you still want to get one of those, like, 8-9 seeds, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they split their games with Drake. I think they beat Bradley both of their times, which is also, Bradley's, like, the third seed or something in their, in that conference. They notably went toe-to-toe with Michigan State, gave Michigan State a little bit of a scare for a bit, and then Michigan State finally pulled away. But I think Indiana State is a team that could do something given the right matchup. And then on the other side with Drake, we had to have talked about Tucker last year.
I think we brought him up, but he's gone to an even higher level. Now, he is a coach's son.
Yeah.
So he has the green light.
Mm-hmm.
But Tucker DeVries was like a borderline four-star recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah.
He could have gone to bigger schools, but he chose to come home and play for his dad, to stay home and play for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, 21 a game, 35% from three, which could be better, but he shoots a high volume.
Right.
80% from the line, which shows you he can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And almost 45% from the field.
Yeah.
Like, he shoots a high volume, but he knows how to score.
Right.
And he gets buckets.
Yeah, and he's had some crazy go-off games.
He had 23 against Bradley in their last game last Sunday.
Yeah.
In the first half.
And then they had a scary game with UIC that went into triple overtime. He scored 39 points on 5-11 three-point shooting, I think, but he was very efficient overall. And he also had, like, let me look it up. He had 13 rebounds. So, like, he had a huge game, and so he's capable of that at any time. And again, Drake just, they score really well. They're an offensive-oriented team, and they can run it up with almost anybody. So a couple teams to watch out for. So that conference tournament will also be pretty fun. Does that conference tournament start tonight?
I don't think it starts tonight.
It might be tomorrow. Anyway. But there are teams that are scary also in that conference. Like I said, Bradley is also right there. They're a pretty good team. They've knocked off some people here and there.
I watched them for the first time last Sunday when they played Drake, and they've got some really good guys.
Yeah. So they have some potential there. And then more notable teams that, like, we've seen in the past of Belmont and Northern Iowa, they're also pretty good too. So it's something to watch out for. Yeah. And it's interesting, but I would love for Indiana State or Drake to make it. It's really tough for both of them to make it, but there is a chance, depending on what happens elsewhere. But it would be really cool if they both made it, but hopefully we get one of them so that we can talk about them for the big tournament episode.
Yeah. I want to bounce over to the Summit League really quick.
Okay.
I want to bring up a player in particular, but the top three in the Summit League are South Dakota State, North Dakota, and Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And former D2 team, St. Thomas.
Yeah.
Minnesota team, they're fourth. Pretty solid squad.
Mm-hmm.
But South Dakota State, number one, they're 19-12, 12-4 in conference. And they have one of the best players in the country that a lot of people don't know about. He could be a second round steal in the NBA draft potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Kid named Zeke Mayo. Have you heard of him?
No, I have not.
6'4 guard.
But all I know is, like, typically with South Dakota is they shoot the lights out. And that's what they've been known for years. So anytime we see them in the tournament, they're a team that I always say to watch out for. So I can only imagine he's got to be an offensive-minded player.
Yeah, he averages almost 20 a game, 19.3. 6 rebounds, almost 4 assists. 37% from three, 46% from the field, and he's just a bucket getter.
Mm-hmm.
He scored over 20 four times in the last five games. Last game he had 19. Like, he finishes games for them.
Okay.
And he knows how to score from each level of the court.
Mm.
And he's really talented. He's a guy, if South Dakota State will most likely make the tournament because I think they're by far the best team.
Yeah.
And they got the most talent. But if Zeke Mayo gets into the tournament, he's a guy that one of the seeds that plays against South Dakota State will be on upset watch.
Because
Zeke Mayo can go off and go for like potentially 30 against a team.
Yeah.
He's that good.
I think the only other team that I even paid attention to in the summit, because Oral Roberts losing Max Asemus,
they fell off.
Like ruined their team.
Yeah.
They're now the bottom. And an interesting one, I think, is Kansas City. Like they've hung in some games. The problem is they've looked really bad at times, but they've also looked pretty good at times. They did beat South Dakota State a couple weeks ago, and I think that's where I first learned of them. Is I think I was watching ESPN or something talking about some surprise teams. So that could be one within that conference tournament that maybe could do something. But nothing from Kansas City really jumps off the page. Like they don't have one crazy score. They're pretty balanced, but they also don't go crazy necessarily, but they just beat you with good basketball sometimes. So one to kind of watch out for in that tournament. Their tournament kicks off on Friday. So something to watch out for there.
Is there a team you want to bring up? There's one more I want to bring up.
Go for it. I'm just kind of recapping over some of the tournaments that are coming up. I'm trying to look.
Okay, so we're jumping to the Southland.
Okay.
Mostly teams in the Texas area, the Southwest area of the country. Top three or four in this conference, you got McNeese State.
Yeah, McNeese.
You got Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
You got Nicholls State, and you got Lamar. Each team has a winning record, so this isn't a bad conference.
Right.
But they're usually known as like one of the lower tier conferences in mid-major basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But at the top, you've got McNeese State.
Yeah, they're good.
27-3 overall,
mm-hmm.
16-1 in conference. And guess who their coach is?
I can't remember, actually.
Former LSU coach. Guy that got caught up in like the wiretap scandals.
Oh,
and most people assumed he was giving out bags at LSU because he was getting 5-star prospects all over the place.
Yeah.
Will Wade.
Yes. That's who it was. Yeah.
He got fired from LSU because of a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
And those fans miss him a ton because they were more competitive with him.
Right.
But, yeah, he jumped to the mid-major, and McNeese State is in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and immediately just, like, got them over the top
yeah.
as a program.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they have any quad one wins, but they've dominated all the mid-major competition, and they've dominated their conference in particular.
I'm trying to think. I just watched a bracketology thing the other day, and I'm trying to remember if I saw that they had any quad one wins. But, yeah, McNeese, I'm assuming when tournament time comes around, they're going to be a big favorite for upset.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a team that I don't even know if I'm going to pick them. Because yeah. they're going to be, like, the trendy upset team
mm-hmm.
if they make the tournament.
Yeah, they beat, notably, I remember early on in the season, they did beat Michigan, which at the time was a decent win. They beat Louisiana, which is a pretty good win. But I don't see any quad one wins. They lost to Louisiana Tech. So those are the, like, notable teams that I can see. But... yeah, they're going to be a favorite. And I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, they're almost too much of a favorite where I'm nervous that they might get overhyped going into their tournament. But, yeah, I mean, they're 27-3, so it's hard to discount what they've done this season at all. Okay, I'm looking at trying to look at some of the tournaments that are starting today. We have the OVC, which I haven't really done any research on. I know that Little Rock and Morehead State, that's the other one that's in that conference. I haven't done much research on them yet. And then we have the Big South is starting tonight, which do they have? No. Yeah, but the Big South doesn't have anybody crazy this year. In the past, we've seen like Gardner Webb be pretty good or Winthrop.
Yeah.
But this year, I guess UNC Asheville kind of fell off. I think they were having a pretty good season if I remember correctly, and then they had a couple losses late in the season.
Yeah, the best team in the conference is High Point right now.
Yeah.
And UNC Asheville is second.
Right. So I don't know. I'm trying to remember. But I felt like UNC Asheville at one point was running away with that division. So not sure. Maybe I'll have to do more research on that one. But High Point might be pretty good. But yeah. I don't know. Is that the only tournaments that are kicking off tonight? The rest are going to be tomorrow and Friday, and then going into the weekend, of course. So we'll do some more research. So let's talk about some of the big name teams, because there's actually some big games that happened. Purdue beat Illinois last night, which was a pretty big deal, because if Illinois would have won, they would have had a chance to potentially move up their seeding for the tournament. And then Florida knocking off Alabama, I thought was a pretty good win. They won by 18.
Yeah.
And Alabama had looked pretty good going into that game. So to lose that badly to Florida, I know it was at Florida, but that's a big win for Florida. And that puts them in the conversation to a better seed going into the tournament. And they're going to be potentially kind of scary in the SEC tournament now. We saw South Florida beat Tulane, which was a good win for them.
I think they wrapped up the American regular season title, I'm pretty sure.
The unfortunate thing for them is they're probably still going to need to win their tournament. They're in the same boat as like Indiana State and Drake, where even if as good of a season as they had, if they don't win their tournament, it's going to be really hard for them to get in, because the other likely team that gets in is going to be either Charlotte or FAU, I would think, unless, you know, somebody makes a magical run. But those are like the other two teams behind them, and they might not have enough of a resume to get in otherwise, which would be disappointing. Auburn had a huge win over Missouri. They just destroyed Missouri. Kansas beat Kansas State, no big deal. Dayton beat St. Louis, and then unfortunately for your Aztecs, they lost to UNLV, and UNLV has kind of been the team that's knocked somebody off each time they get any momentum in the Mountain West, it feels like. So Mountain West, I think, is going to be a fun tournament. They got Utah State, Nevada is now up there, UNLV, Boise State is a surging team. San Diego State is all the way down in the middle of the pack. They have New Mexico, who was a hot name at one point, and then they have Colorado State, who has Isaiah Stevens. So, like, the Mountain West could be quite exciting, actually, for once. But I don't know. Again, I don't want to get too caught in the weeds of tournaments that haven't really started yet, but it's interesting. And then tonight, there's some big matchups. We have Houston taking on UCF, which, again, we've seen UCF be another one of those teams that's upset people late in the season. A big matchup for my Tennessee Volunteers taking on South Carolina, that team that Malik, you talked about a couple weeks ago.
Did you say my Tennessee Volunteer?
I'm starting to take
I just,
them.
I just...
I'm starting to pick them.
Are you fully on the Dalton Connect train?
I think I am, and it stinks.
Because he's the real...
It makes me nervous.
He's the realest of the real deal.
It just makes me nervous, I guess.
They haven't had this type of player. I think this is what they've needed to...
Yeah.
At least make a run to like an Elite Eight.
Yeah. But ever since, you know, the whole Iowa debacle, when I was so on Iowa and they lost in the first round.
That's Iowa, though.
They just looked really bad.
That's different.
Yeah, but it was a Keegan Murray-led team, and it was just disappointing. So that just makes me nervous when I get too on to a team early. An interesting matchup, too, for me is UConn and Marquette. Tyler Kolek is not playing in this game because of his injury. And we don't even know if he's going to be able to play in their conference tournament. Do you think Marquette is that good? Because to me, everybody keeps talking about Marquette, and I just don't see it.
I think Marquette is good. I don't think they have that extra thing to take them on a run.
Yeah.
Now, so there are times where certain teams just hit a hot streak, and right. Marquette has the type of like offense and shooting ability to hit that hot streak.
Yeah.
And healthy Tyler Kolek is good enough at point guard to get them there. But I just don't like I like Cam Jones a lot.
To me, I feel like Cam Jones
he can get hot and go for like 25 to 30.
I was gonna say I feel like he's gonna have to do that.
Yeah.
To get them anywhere.
You're right. He has to have big games.
And the wild thing is, like, they're going to be a 2 or 3 seed in the tournament. And, you know, to give a little hint, I might have them lose in the first round, depending on who they're playing. And I could be totally wrong, but I just...
They're a well-balanced team that doesn't like to depend on, like, one guy, but they usually have to because their talent level is good, but not, like, next level.
Right.
Like... Tyler Kolek and Cam Jones are both outstanding college players. I don't think anybody has any projections of them playing in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They have very few players that might play in the NBA.
Right. And then the other one, BYU-Iowa State. Two teams that I'm kind of also a little unsure on. I usually like the way that Iowa State plays, but they are a little prone to losing at times in big games. And then BYU is kind of the same way where like they've had some good wins and they've had some pretty big losses. They did just beat TCU, which was a pretty big win. So they're kind of on the upswing. They beat Kansas, but they lost to Kansas State the week before that. They beat Baylor the week before that, but they lost to Oklahoma State. Like BYU doesn't make any sense to me.
That Kansas win alone might get them in the tournament.
Yeah.
They have enough good enough wins, and then they went and beat Kansas.
I'm pretty sure they're in the tournament at this point.
Yeah.
They're the number 20 team in the country, and I mean realistically, they just have to win their first round matchup in the Big 12. I think because what do we got? Let's see: Houston, Iowa State 2, Baylor 3, Texas Tech 4, Kansas 5, BYU 6. Yeah, I guess there's a way they could lose and get out because TCU's got a decent resume. Texas and Oklahoma have okay resumes. Yeah, I guess there's some chances.
I think there's a chance Texas gets left out.
I think so too.
Texas does not have a good resume to me.
I just think the Big 12 is kind of it's tough. So that back end, I think there are ways that somebody could sneak in.
There are going to be a few NIT teams.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then Kentucky plays Vanderbilt, no big deal. Utah State plays San Jose State. Those teams just need to get it done. Northwestern and Michigan State tonight. This was the big one we were kind of talking about last week even. It's senior night.
Now it's time for me to ask me where your faith is, Joey. I have little faith in Oakland. What's your faith with Michigan State basketball?
I mean, right, I have little faith too, but I got to feel like on a senior night at home, you're coming off 2 back-to-back home losses that are bad. They're 9.5-point favorites.
Northwestern is the better team.
Yes, but I think the scenario just fits better for Michigan State. I'm still nervous about the game, though. Don't get me wrong, because they could come in a little too amped up, start missing shots, Northwestern go on a little run. And, you know, Michigan State's not like, they're not the best team that's equipped to make comebacks or big comebacks per se. So, I don't know.
Tyson Walker needs to have one of those games.
He does. And he's going to need to step up for the entire Big Ten tournament, hopefully the NCAA tournament.
He honestly hasn't been great.
No.
In like the past week or two.
Yeah. He's been much lower than his normal standards, so to speak. So I don't know where my confidence lies because, I just don't know what this team can do differently that's going to change my mind. Somebody's going to have to step up. Is it going to be Jaden Akins again? I don't know. Is it going to be A.J. Hoggard again? I don't know. But I think it's going to need to be one of those guys for sure. Tyson Walker needs to get back to what he's been doing. Malik Hall's actually had a pretty surprisingly good season. And then, I don't know. I just don't know what they're going to do about their big man situation. And that could be matchup depending when we get into Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. If the other team has, you know, some big man that could take advantage, I might be a little nervous about who they're playing. If the other team is like Indiana State I know they beat Indiana State already, but having to play another Indiana State and Robbie Avila being able to take advantage plus the shooting that they have, like that kind of team would scare me going into the tournament if I was Michigan State. But I don't know. I'm not sure. If they lose this game, though, I'll be very terrified because, like we said last week, I believe, then they only have one more game. They got Indiana. And if they lose to Indiana and then lose their first round matchup in the Big Ten tournament, we might see Michigan State not in the tournament. The Which big dance.
Might be better for the program.
Maybe.
It may be.
You're right.
It would wake some people up.
Yeah. And people are already starting to wake up. I feel like we've been, you know, I don't like to toot my own horn too often, but I feel like we've been ahead of the game for once, and people are just now catching up. And sometimes that makes me feel a little bit good inside. But it's unfortunate because it's at the cost of Michigan State being a good team. And even if they make it into the tournament, they're going to be that 8, 9, 10 seed range. Even if they go on a run and make it all the way to like the Big Ten championship, which I think the team is technically capable of doing. I don't know how high their seed could rise, but they're going to be in a scary matchup. They're going to have a tough matchup no matter where it goes. And I don't know. It's a wait and see kind of thing. And it's unfortunately, it's like a game by game analysis. So we'll see. Another interesting matchup too, Villanova and Seton Hall. Two teams that are on the bubble as well, similar to Michigan State, where they're trying to make it in to the big dance. And both of them have decent resumes, but they're going to need to make some runs in their conference tournament to have a chance to make it in. But both are right there and can't really afford to lose some of their final games. Like Seton Hall has Villanova and then DePaul. So they need to win those games. Villanova plays Seton Hall and then Creighton. So they could really improve themselves and make it in most likely. So some interesting ones there. Looking at the slate, I think most of these other games are somewhat not mattering for the most part, as much as I can see. Yeah. I guess Loyola Chicago playing Davidson is actually kind of a big game for them to finish out their season. Loyola Chicago does have a chance of getting back to the tournament, which would be nice. The A-10 is another interesting conference because they have Richmond and Loyola Chicago at the top, but Dayton is that top 25 team. So that's a conference that could get potentially two teams in, depending on what happens. So if Richmond or Loyola Chicago win their tournament, Dayton still might have a resume to get in, and then who knows? And then that unfortunately takes away from Drake or Indiana State. So that's where all that stuff gets really interesting. Is there any teams that you want to talk about before we're basically done? But we got a 2 or 3 minutes. If there's a team or a matchup or maybe a conference tournament that you're looking forward to this weekend. Besides, the Horizon.
Even though they're playing Vanderbilt tonight, I think Kentucky is a team going into the tournament that team should be afraid of.
Okay.
Because Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard are playing at such a high level right now.
Mm-hmm.
When they're rolling, like the rest of the team picks up their level of play too.
Yep.
And they've scored over 100, I think, 5 times this season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than like any Power 5 team.
Yeah.
That shows how high level their offense can be. So, yeah, Kentucky is a team that people should be afraid of.
Yeah.
I think the Mountain West might actually only get, like, 4 teams in, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because those types of conferences, you have to be, like, ranked top 20 at least.
Right.
To get multiple teams in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Utah State is their only ranked team at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, San Diego State is ranked. They just lost to UNLV.
So they'll
UNLV
out.
Is now up to third in the conference, and they're not even ranked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have no idea how the Mountain West is going to shake out.
Yeah. That's why I said that conference could be a really fun tournament to watch.
Some teams are going to be very disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think New Mexico might be out.
Yeah, I think so, too. They were a team that we talked about, you know, kind of in the middle of the season, but they've had some pretty tough losses. Yeah.
Them and Colorado State were both ranked at one point.
Yeah.
And now they're both, like, 9-7, 9-8 in conference.
Mm-hmm. And I think Colorado State has a better resume to potentially make it if they make a run in their tournament. So, yeah, I could see two, maybe three teams out of that conference making it, depending on, you know, what else happens. But it's definitely going to be a lot tougher, I think, the way some of them finished their tournament. So, I don't know. Oh, there is a big matchup this weekend of Boise State and San Diego State. That's a pretty big one before their tournament as well. So, yeah, a lot of little tournaments going on. The other thing I would say, too, just because it's interesting, the Sun Belt has Appalachian State. That kicks off this weekend. Appalachian State looks like they're going to make the tournament, and they could be a pretty good team, surprisingly. I know we don't talk about Appalachian State too often in basketball, but they've had a really good season, so might be something to watch for. Although I guess they do have James Madison, who's also having another still good season.
Yeah.
Even though at one point we thought they were going to run away with their season. But they're still around. So Sun Belt could be a fun conference tournament to watch this weekend as well. Yeah. I think that's about it. You got anything else that you can think of?
Oakland better win.
Okay. Hey, Michigan State better win.
Listen. Yeah, I'm on my last legs, Greg Campy. how good this program is and how they can never get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like being like an Atlanta Hawks fan or something.
Jeez.
Just stuck in a play. Yeah, we can make the playoffs, but nothing is ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, just make the tournament. It's been too long.
Yeah, I took a shot at Atlanta Hawks fans.
Hey, that's fair.
It's true. It is what it is.
Yeah. Alrighty. So we'll discuss some of these conference tournament winners next week. And then, of course, we'll get into, you know, the big ones where we talk about the Big Ten tournament, all the Power Five, things like that. And we get ready for the big dance. 2 weeks away. Pretty crazy. I'm excited. I love this time of the year where it's just basketball nonstop for multiple weekends straight. But that first weekend, nothing can ever touch that first weekend of just back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back basketball. All right. This has been Views from the Sidelines. We'll see you guys next week.